Grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, as we continue our study on the words from the cross, the words from the cross. And I hope you've never experienced abandonment, but you probably have. I've heard stories of those who've been abandoned by father, even by their mother, walking out of the house and saying, "I never want to see these children again." What horrible abandonment. What horrible loneliness. And so today, we want to ask that question of ourselves. Have you ever been abandoned, left utterly alone, forsaken? If you have, you know a sliver of what Jesus experienced on the cross for you. So let us turn to Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 45. I read in Jesus' name. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, and help us to understand these words of Jesus spoken from the agony of the cross. Lord, help us to understand what it meant for Jesus to be forsaken, and Father, why that is good news for us. And so, Lord, open our minds, open our hearts to understand, to receive your word today. And may we receive it by faith, trusting in that word, trusting in your promises, trusting in your faithfulness, trusting in your purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This word, this statement that Jesus spoke, stands at the center of the seven which Jesus uttered from the cross. And it emphasizes the very center of God's work that he accomplished through Jesus on that cross. This is the fulcrum of Jesus' time spent on that cross to forgive our sins. It is the word of atonement. The word of atonement. And it tells that the terror that Jesus had to endure for our sake, the terror that Jesus endured for our sake, was not simply the physical torture of the cross, as terrible as that certainly was. His suffering was much greater. These words describe what it meant for Jesus to take upon himself the sin of the whole world, as it tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. These words describe what it meant for Jesus to take upon himself the sin of the whole world. My God, why have you forsaken me? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on that tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed." He bore our sins on that cross. The word atonement means making us one with God, attaining that perfect unity that God intended for us when he created us. God made us to live in a perfect unity, a perfect harmony with him. Sin has broken that harmony. Atonement is making us again one with God. Atonement is doing away with what has separated us from our Heavenly Father. It is taking away the barriers. It is reconciling us, reuniting us with God. In making atonement for our sin, Jesus was forsaken, utterly desolate, and completely alone in his agony. It is hard for us to fathom why Jesus was forsaken by his heavenly Father. Jesus, who was sinless, who lived in perfect fellowship with the Father, who walked in perfect harmony with his will, it doesn't seem possible that God could have and would have abandoned his Son at that moment as he hung in utter agony on that cross. The noted Bible scholar F.F. Bruce, in his book, The Hard Sayings of Jesus, notes, "This is the hardest of all the hard sayings of Jesus." Now, he did a masterful job in that book going through all the hard sayings of Jesus, and he said, this is the top of the list. This is the hardest of all the hard sayings of Jesus. The full answer is beyond us to comprehend, but Scripture does give us glimpses of this work of atonement and why Jesus would cry out in that way. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "God made him who had no sin, God made Jesus who had no sin to become sin for us, so that we might in him become the righteousness of God. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus became sin. Jesus became sin. The essence of sin is rejection of God. It is living life our way instead of God's way. It is turning our backs on him, refusing to accept his authority over our lives, or even to acknowledge his love, or his goodness, or his grace for us. Sin is forsaking God. Sin is forsaking God. Romans 3:23 tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The essence of sin is rejection of God. It's turning our back on God. And there are a couple of verses I thought I threw in there, but I didn't put in my notes. So you can take those home and do a Bible study on those about how sin is turning our backs to God, rejecting him, forsaking him. But the effect of sin, the essence of sin, is our own rejection of God's love and grace and goodness. But the effect of sin is separation from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Your iniquities, that is our willful rebellion against God, have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Hell. Hell is the final result of sin. It is a complete and eternal separation from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that God is just. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out, separated from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Shut out, separated from the presence of God. That's hell. As Jesus bore our sins, he also bore its gravest result, the total blackout of God's presence. Jesus had never known its absence. Someone who goes into the night from a brilliantly lit room finds the darkness more oppressing than a person who went out into the night from a dimly lit room. Even so, no one misses the presence of God so much as one who has been so keenly conscious of that presence constantly as Jesus was. Jesus had walked daily in the undiminished light of the Father's love and blessing in perfect fellowship with him. But now the Father's face was no longer seen. And Jesus' heartache was, by contrast, all the more agonizing. Gone was the brightness of God's presence, his Father's presence. And after days so full of light, that darkness was unimaginably desolate. Through Moses, God had warned ancient Israel of the terrible price of sin and rebellion against him. In Deuteronomy 31:17, it says, "My anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them." That is the result of sin. So with the weight of the world's sin, Jesus hung on that cross. With the sting of my sin, Jesus felt the darkness of death's power, the absence of God's presence. Reaching into the Psalms, Jesus found words to express his despair. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" From Psalm 22, verse 1. Let's take careful note of what Jesus did in the moment that he was forsaken. He reached into the Scriptures. He reached into his memory and into the Scriptures which he had studied from his youth. He turned to God's Word in his time where he was utterly forsaken, and then he prayed. This psalm, like all the psalms, is a prayer crying out to God in a time of great pain and anguish. The words on Jesus' lips are probing. They're questioning his Father's absence in his time of great struggle. But it was a prayer, and it was a prayer offered in faith. It was made with the conviction that God was still his very own, that he cried out, "My God, my God." He still clung in that moment of utter forsakenness to that relationship that he had enjoyed so perfectly. "My God," he prayed. So it was a prayer of faith. It was a cry of faith in taking God's word and bringing it to his Father. It was a cry of faith in the very purpose of God in that moment. We can't know if Jesus recited the remainder of that psalm to himself as he suffered on the cross. I'm sure he knew every word of that psalm. And I'm sure the words of that psalm seared deep into his heart as he hung there in great agony. Listen to what that psalm says. "All who see me mock me." He was certainly experiencing that. "He committed his cause to the Lord. Let him deliver him. They have pierced my hands and feet. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast." Even as Jesus poured out his heart to the Father in a plaintive prayer, God was silent. Psalm 22 continues, "My God, why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and by night, and I'm not silent." But God was silent. F.F. Bruce goes on to say, "The question, why, was asked. Why? Why?" But it remained unanswered. And yet if we look to Psalm 22, that psalm does not end in despair, but in hope. It begins with great despair. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me?" And yet, if we go down to verse 24 of that psalm, it says, "For the Lord has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." The Father heard him. God hears our prayers even when they are offered from the deepest hell. And that is certainly where Jesus was as he hung on that cross. God heard his cry. Hebrews 5 verse 7 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. He was heard. Never mistake God's silence for his indifference. There are often times when we feel forsaken and abandoned, and it seems that God is silent, that heaven is empty. But never think that the lack of an answer to our prayers means the lack of caring on God's part. God may be silent, but God most often works in silent and unseen ways. A German pastor and theologian Helmut Tielicke wrote, "The cross was God's greatest silence. Then the power of darkness seemed to reign unhindered as Jesus cried out, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' God was silent. And yet the very hour when God was silent was the hour of the great turning point, when God's heart was laid bare with all of its wounds. And even when God was silent, he suffered with us. He suffered for us." Psalm 38 verse 21 says, "Do not forsake me, O Lord, my God. Be not far from me." And that's our cry, "Lord, don't forsake me. Don't leave me." Because in the hour when Jesus was forsaken and God was silent, there were no words spoken. But God did answer his son's prayer with power greater than words. The earth shook. The veil of the temple was ripped apart. 3 days later, Jesus rose victorious from the dead. The stone was rolled away so that everyone could see the great victory that God won because Jesus suffered for us, was forsaken for us so that we would have the promise that God would never leave us nor forsake us. We have the promise of God's presence because of what Jesus did on the cross. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "The Lord your God who goes with you, he will not leave you nor forsake you." It says that again in a few verses later, verse 8, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, "He will not leave you nor forsake you." He said that to Joshua, "I will not leave you or forsake you." And again throughout the scriptures, God says, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." Psalm 9, verse 10, "And those who know your name put their trust in you, O Lord, for you have not forsaken those who seek you." You have not forsaken. Jesus experienced that abandonment on the cross. He was forsaken because sin separates us from our God. It shuts out his face from us. Jesus endured that awful agony, hell itself on the cross, so that we can escape that destiny. We don't need to face that eternity away, shut out from the presence of God by faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. We have that promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. So here's some questions we should ask ourselves as we end the message today. When you are facing crushing circumstances that cause you to cry out, "God, why?" Here's some questions to ask yourself. Do you, in faith, turn to the promises of God in his word? Do you, in faith, turn to the promises of God in his word? Do you, in faith, seek comfort in the presence of God? And do you, in faith, surrender your life to the purposes of God? God's greatest purpose for us is that we would be with him. He chose 12 of his disciples as his apostles, and it says to be with him and then to preach. First to be with him and then to go out and preach. And for eternity, God intends us to be with him forever in heaven. And he doesn't want anyone to miss out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to endure forsakenness on the cross, to be forsaken on the cross so that in him we might have eternal life by faith in him. So the only question is, have we put our faith in God through Jesus Christ? Is he your God? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can we cry out, my God, thank you that through Jesus Christ I never will be forsaken? Is that your cry today? Do you in faith turn to the promises of God and his word? Do you in faith seek comfort in the presence of God? Do you in faith surrender to the purposes of God? And the good news of this is that faith itself is a gift of God. As you hear the gospel, as you hear this good work, it is the Holy Spirit who brings conviction of our sin. It was for my sin that Jesus endured that agony and forsakenness on the cross. But he also, through the Holy Spirit, comes and causes us to believe, to put our faith in this Jesus, faith in God's promises and in his presence and in his purposes for our lives. Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, may we cry out to you in faith, the faith that you give through the gospel, this good news of what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And Father, may we cling to you in faith because we have the gospel. We have this good news. And Father, if there's anyone here who's never received that good news, may they do it today. May they not delay. May they not be shut out forever from your presence of Christ and your glory. You don't want that. Lord, may they today say, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus suffered what he did on the cross for my sin that separates me from you. And now, Lord, may it be forgiven, be atoned for, that I might regain that unity with you, be one with you through Jesus. Oh, Lord, Jesus, come into my heart and into my life. Be my Savior and Lord. And I believe that Christ rose again. And so that I too may live with you forever in heaven. Oh Lord, may I cling to that in faith, trusting your promises, being comforted by your presence, and surrendering my life to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.